Joseph Lindsley left his Lviv news bunker a few days ago to hit the road. Let's check in with him now. It's afternoon time over there. How's it going, Joseph?
Bob, good morning to you all. Good afternoon from Zaporizhia. We just arrived here at the Zaporizhia Oblast Clinic of Medicine. Oblast is the term for the region. We drove about 90 minutes from Nikopol. And Zaporizhia, the name of this town, means below the rapids. And before the Soviets dammed much of the river, there were some rapids in this region. This, where I was yesterday in Nikopol, whose name means Victory City, by the way, which is a very relevant term right now. And then this city, Zaporizhia, is the heartland of the ancient Cossack people. And I learned a lot about them just in the past 24 hours through conversations. But the Cossacks were the sort of wild peasants. They had sort of paramilitary organizations for many centuries during the Russian empires and all the other empires that crossed through this land, including the Mongols. And the Cossacks had a tradition of democracy. And so that's exactly what Ukrainians are continuing today. And people here still have that Cossack blood. In fact, I met yesterday in Nikopol with one of the best, I think one of the most highly regarded warriors of the past 8 years here in Ukraine. He simply goes by the name Ukrainian, no other name. And he gifted me the Veshivanka, the traditional embroidery of the Ukrainian people. But this one is in camouflage with military patches. And so this is, in some sense, I would say one of the major heartlands of Ukrainian identity. When the Soviets built those reservoirs, they flooded the ancient burial grounds of the Cossack people. So there's a long history of animosity. And now, I think the past 24 hours and looking forward to the past few days, the Russians are making pushes to get toward this city of Zaporizhia.
It's such a great culture, and we really appreciate you filling us in on that, Joseph. So you have actually left Lviv and gone, is it to the east, closer to the front, closer to where the Russians are?
Yes, sir. We're in the southeast, and we first went to Dnipro when I spoke to you guys on Tuesday. It's a city of almost a million people. And Dnipro has had some attacks kind of on the margins, and then we went south to the city of Nikopol, which is on the Dnipro River. I think it's the widest point of the river. And as I spoke with you yesterday, we could see the Russian-occupied land right across from us and the nuclear plant that the Russians control, but that the Ukrainian staff, they're currently held hostage, but they're maintaining safety at the plant. I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning because that's when we had an air alarm. And because the threat is so close, because the missiles and rockets could hit so quickly, they could even simply fire from their cannon, their guns across the river. When there is an alarm, it plays nonstop. So from about 4 o'clock this morning to almost 7 o'clock, we were in an air alarm. And I ended up just taking a walk outside and just observing people waking up and going to work while this horrible sound was playing. We had another alarm before that, a few hours before, during a lightning storm. And you just imagine flashes of lightning in the sky, you know, the threat from nature and then the threat from man, signified by the air alarm, and knowing that there's a nuclear plant just a few kilometers away. So every time you see a flash of light, there's a bit of an unsettling experience.
Unbelievable. I mentioned to you last week when we had the tornado warnings here and the sirens are going off, I was thinking of you when sirens go off, air raid alerts indicating there might be a missile strike, and how scary that must be. You know, Joseph, long-range U.S. weapons are going to Ukraine. And the President Biden says they're going to be used to free cities and ports. And President Zelensky says Kyiv will not strike Russia. How are the people there feeling about our latest deployment of weapons to the country?
And President Biden made it very clear that, as you said, that these weapons would not reach Russia. And that shows that there still is a fear of Russia. And I think, you know, that disappoints people here a little bit because it means that, you know, Russia is projecting. The world is afraid of losing access. Many countries, such as Germany, losing access to Russian oil. And now with the food blockade, and that was a big topic of conversation yesterday, the food shortages here because they can't get fuel to deliver it. The Russians have also occupied one of the most fertile regions of Ukraine, just a little bit south of where I was yesterday, Kherson. And so because of this, Ukrainians are a bit, they don't like it, I think, when they hear these comments. But there's obviously, it's understandable because NATO is afraid that of escalation. And for example, yesterday, Lviv, just south of Lviv, the Russians hit. And they hit very near. Once again, they keep trying to target the supply lines. They hit the railway lines, or nearly hit them coming into Lviv. And an American journalist who sometimes sympathizes, I think, with the Russian cause, calls that the NATO supply line. But I think Washington and Brussels and NATO are very careful of trying to get to some escalation. And I think that does confuse some Ukrainians. But, you know, I mean, that is sort of the big debate. You know, is this the 1930s or is this something different?
Joseph, is your name on Russia's list of banned Americans yet? Did you make that list?
Well, you know, we've been hearing lots of, from my American sources, there's a lot of worry right now. In fact, some people were supposed to come down and meet us, and they're not. And look, when I was talking to you on the radio yesterday, we were standing on a terrace, you know, what in normal times would be a nice little beach and a beach bar club. And you know, they could see us, you know, they had their binoculars. And so we don't know, but we've had warnings that is very likely. But I think it's more important to be able to, you know, travel here and share the truth. And all the people I met, so many of the people I met yesterday in Nikopol, are unafraid about sharing their identities. And you know, this is the battle of their lives. One interesting comment that came up yesterday, I met so many people who said they act without mandate. No one waits for their government or the military to tell them what to do. I saw this amazing self-organization, and so there is that great spirit. And these are the type of people that we've been told since last November that are on the Russian hit list, because that's the type of leader that would carry on a resistance, for example.
Mm-hmm. Well, we wish safe travels for you as you continue your journeys there. Joseph Lindsley, grateful for the reporting as always. We will talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.